Hi, everyone, and welcome back to English for You. I'm Erin.
I'm Elsie.
And we are learning about the story of Manami Tanaka. In the story, we found out that Manami's family was forced to move away from their home. And they were taken to live at a prison in California.
Manami is glad to have the dog, Eugene, at first, but then the dog is taken away.
Right. Now, she's feeling sad, she's feeling angry, she's just lost the one comfort she had. So what happens is that she stops talking for months because she's so angry and sad and confused about her life.
But how can she express herself?
Mm-hmm.
She expresses herself by drawing and writing, and then releasing her words and pictures into the wind.
Yes. Now, what she hopes by doing this is that things will change back to her old life. That doesn't really happen again, but what does happen is that Manami finally starts speaking again, and she says sorry to her grandpa for losing Eugene.
And her grandpa tells her it's not her fault, and that she must let go of the past and move forward.
Right. Now, this is a really important story, but what we've learned is that she's learned how to move forward, but what we haven't learned is why her family is in this situation in the first place. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to find out what happened to them and why this story is so important.
Reading.
Paper Wishes. Manami's story in Paper Wishes shows how an extreme policy put in place after the Pearl Harbor attack affected thousands of families. Shortly after the bombing, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an order that forced Japanese Americans to leave their homes. About 122,000 of them were moved to large prison-like camps for the purpose of protecting the U.S. The majority of these people were U.S. citizens. Most of the others had lived in the U.S. for decades. In spite of the racially influenced suspicions, none of these individuals were ever found guilty of espionage. There were 10 camps in total, located in several U.S. states, including California and Arizona. Each camp was its own community. Its citizens worked jobs in food service, agriculture, medical clinics, and more. Still, with tall wire fences and guards, these communities were a far cry from ideal environments. The camps were finally closed in 1946. But even after the innocent prisoners were released, they faced a new challenge. With their homes, life savings, businesses, and possessions gone, they had to begin the process of rebuilding their lives.
All right, the story starts out by talking about Manami's story and by saying where it came from. It says, Manami's story in Paper Wishes shows how an extreme policy put in place after the Pearl Harbor attack affected thousands of families. Now, something that's extreme is very great or very strong in degree. Now, moving Japanese people to prisons and camps was not a normal policy for the U.S. It was a very strong and a very serious one.
Extreme 这个形容词是极端的，所以 Manami 的故事凸显了珍珠港事件之后，极端的政策是如何影响数千个家庭。So, who set the policy?
Okay, well, we're going to find out. It was the government. It says, shortly after the bombing, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an order that forced Japanese Americans to leave their homes. Okay, so here, an order is kind of like a specific rule or a command that must be followed. It's similar to a law in this case. It's not exactly a law. It's just similar to a law.
So this president is the older one or the son.
This one was the younger Roosevelt.
The younger
okay,
one.
So the
okay.
Theodore Roosevelt was the one who was a few years before.
Okay, 所以这边我们讲到的是小罗斯福总统，他在日军轰炸珍珠港之后啊 ，signed an order， 签署了一道法院命令。迫使日裔美国人离开他们的家园。
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's kind of made this order, he signed this order, kind of made this law, and the law says that Japanese people living in Americans, so Japanese Americans can't stay in their homes anymore. And so what happened is about 122,000 of them were moved to large prison-like camps for the purpose of protecting the U.S.
Purpose 是目的，所以这样做的目的是在保护美国。
Okay, so what he kind of wanted to do was put all of the Japanese Americans in the same place so they could watch them to make sure that they weren't doing anything to harm the U.S.
Yeah,
right?
They were protecting themselves, mm-hmm. but
not protecting people who lived there,
right?
And it says here the majority of these people were U.S. citizens. So they weren't just people who were staying there for a short time. They had actually gone and taken the test to become U.S. citizens. They have every right to live there. Now, we see that it's the majority of these people. Now, a majority, this word is a word we use when we talk about the most people or things in a group. So, for example, if there are 100 people in a group and 80 of them are women, we can say that the majority of the people in the group are women.Here's another example. The majority of my family does not eat meat, so we often eat at vegetarian restaurants.
Majority 这个名词是大多数、大部分。The majority of 代表是在某群体中的大多数。那相反就是 minority, 它指的是少数。Mm-hmm. So among these people that had to leave their homes, most of them were U.S. citizens. 这叫做美国公民哦。
Mm-hmm. But, you know, even though most of them are U.S. citizens, that doesn't mean the people who weren't U.S. citizens had only been there for a short time. It says most of the others had lived in the U.S. for decades.
我们说 a decade 是十年, but here we're talking about decades, 也就是好几十年。所以被要求撤离家园的那些人当中，如果不是 U.S. citizens, 那也是在美国待上数十年的人。
Now, here's a really important part. It says, in spite of the racially influenced suspicions, none of these individuals were ever found guilty of espionage. Now, we have a lot to talk about in here, but basically, the simple version of what we're saying is, even though they were Japanese Americans, even though they were Japanese, none of them ever were found guilty of spying. Okay, so let's talk about the adverb racially here. Now, racially describes actions that are done in a way that has been affected by a person's skin color or race. Now, if something is racially influenced, it has been influenced by a person's race or skin color. Here's an example sentence. The police officers believe this crime was racially motivated. Now, what we're saying here is that someone has committed a crime against a person because that person has a different skin color or race.
Racially, 这个副词是种族上。那 racially influenced 代表是受种族因素影响的。那同学们一定要知道种族这个字是 race, R-A-C-E。那种族上的我们说 racial, R-A-C-I-A-L。那如果你是对其他种族歧视的人，也就是种族歧视者，我们有一个名称叫做 racist。那另外呢，我们还看到 in spite of, 尽管这个片语。What about the word suspicion?
Okay, so a suspicion is a feeling that you get when you don't trust someone. Now, if you think someone has done something bad, but they're hiding it, you have a suspicion about this person. Here's an example. My suspicion is that Roger took the money from my wallet. He's been avoiding me all day. Now, I just kind of want to put this word together with racially. So racially influenced suspicion. What we're saying here is that the president didn't trust Japanese Americans because only because they were Japanese.
所以 suspicion 这个字呢在这边指的是怀疑猜疑。那形容词呢就是 suspicious, 可疑的。For example, my neighbor's behavior is very suspicious. Maybe he's the one that stole my things. 再来呢我们还可以学哦怀疑的动词是 suspect。那如果念作 suspect, 那就变成名词了代表嫌疑犯。好啦，所以尽管是因为种族而怀疑他们可能会伤害美国 But none of these people were ever found guilty of espionage.
Right, so we're getting to the end of that sentence. We've got a couple of really difficult words to find out about here. Guilty and espionage.
Guilty 这个形容词是有罪的 Be guilty of something 代表是被定上某个罪名而这个字 espionage 它指的是间谍活动所以代表最后也没有人因为间谍活动而被定罪。
So we've learned that there were more than 100,000 of them. Was that prison big enough to keep all of them? No, in fact, there were actually quite a few of these prison camps. It says here, there were 10 camps in total located in several U.S. states, including California and Arizona.
所以总共有十个。
Mm-hmm. Now, I think I remember reading that one of the reasons that they made these camps away from the coast or the Pacific Ocean is because they were worried that people living on the coast would somehow be of more danger. And so they moved them to a lot of inland places. So like a lot of inside the U.S. So Colorado, Arizona, sort of away from the coast.Which is...
So for fear that they go harm those people on the coast?
No, just more like the Japanese Navy or pilots would be able to easier attack those places.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...Each camp here, it says, was its own community. Its citizens worked jobs in food service, agriculture, medical clinics, and more.
Wow, 我们看到这里是有社区的哦 ,community 就是社区的意思。所以每一个营区都像是一个社区。里面的人从事 food service, 餐饮服务。And agriculture.
Mm-hmm. So agriculture is the practice or science of farming or growing crops for food. Now, we've been doing this for a really long time. So an example sentence might be, humans started practicing agriculture about 10,000 years ago. That's when they started growing their food on purpose, not just finding food that was already there.
And it was 10,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow, a long time ago. Agriculture, 它是农业。除了餐饮和农业之外呢 they also worked in medical clinics, 也就是医疗诊所。
Right, so it was like each one of these camps or these prisons was actually just a small city. Mm-hmm. Now, here...It isn't a small city like you would really imagine a city. It says here, still with tall wire fences and guards, these communities were a far cry from ideal environments. Now, we're going to talk about the adjective ideal in a second, but we had another interesting phrase in the sentence, be a far cry from something. Let's find out what this phrase means in today's Pocket Phrase Go.
Pocket phrase go.
大家好，今天我美国总统川普有重要的事情要宣布。Rumor has it that I secretly made a deal with China, but that is a far cry from the truth. Okay. 这里要补充的一个重要声明是，片语 far from 本身就是有一点也不。的意思，而 cry 在这里不是哭，是大叫。A far cry 就是指远到一个人大叫，另外一个人都听不到的距离。So, be a far cry from something 就是强调于点点点大不同的意思。Next question, what's that? 你说我最近有没有得流感？ I am a far cry from getting sick. I'm as healthy as a horse, okay? 啊去！哦，我啊去！我没有，我是对假新闻过敏，好不好？ No more questions, okay?
好啦，所以我们看到这个片语 be a far cry from something 代表的是跟某物特别特别的不一样。所以我们说啊，虽然这个营区好像是自己的 community 社区一样，可是旁边有这高高的围篱，还有这些守卫，所以他们跟 ideal environments 理想的环境根本都不一样。
Okay, now let's find out about these ideal environments. Ideal is an adjective, and something that's ideal is the best or most suitable thing it can be. Now, when a situation is ideal, it is as perfect as it can be, or there's really nothing that you can complain about. So here's an example sentence. My ideal home would have a big kitchen,a nice balcony, and lots of windows to let light in.
Ideal 这个形容词是理想的。So, Aaron, was that really your ideal home?
Kind of. There are a few more things that I'd like, but in Taiwan, those are the things that I look for.
Sounds really nice. Mm-hmm. My ideal home would have a cozy living room, and bedroom, spacious kitchen, and dining room.And a nice bathroom with a bathtub.
Yes, a bathtub would also be very nice.
Yes, hope I'll really have this kind of home someday.
We can live to dream, Elsie, hopefully.
Yes, live to dream.
All right, so these places that they're living, they're like little cities, but they're surrounded by fences. They can't leave. There are guards always watching them. So they're really not that great.Of places to live. Fortunately, they did not last forever. It says the camps were finally closed in 1946, but even after the innocent prisoners were released, they faced a new challenge.
What was the new challenge they faced?
It says here, with their homes, life savings, businesses, and possessions gone, they had to begin the process of rebuilding their lives.
这边呢，我们看到了另外一个文法点哦 ，with 后面加上受词，再加上受词补语的用法。那这里呢，可以表示附加状态或者是原因，用来修饰主要的子句。那后面的动作如果是主动的话，我们就改为现在分词；如果是被动，我们就改为过去分词。所以课文里面呢，是将过去分词 gone 当形容词用。这些人的家、毕生积蓄、生意事业和财物都不见了。他们得要重新来过。那这边再给同学们两个例句哦。For example, with tears rolling down on my face, I said goodbye to my friend when she was living for France. 那我们这边看到 with 后面接出来的是现在分词 rolling, 因为眼泪是自己滚动下来的。再来第二个例句是啊 ,with a cockroach killed in her hand, my mom walked out of the kitchen with a proud look on her face. 我们这边看到的 killed 是一个过去分词,因为蟑螂是被她杀死的。So, Aaron, we saw this word savings too, right? Can you tell us more about it?
Of course. So, what we're saying here is that they've lost their homes and they've lost their savings. Now, savings is a plural noun, and we use this plural noun to talk about all the money that you have saved, especially when you keep it in a bank. Now, you can use your savings for lots of things, but usually you save it for important things. So, for example, I don't want to spend my savings. I keep it to pay for emergencies.
Savings 这个名词代表积蓄，那当积蓄解释的时候，它是横复数哦，所以记得这个字的字尾本身就有个 s。那存钱的动作呢是 save， 所以我们可以说 remember to save money when you get paid。
So we saw that they lost their homes, they lost their life savings, they lost their businesses, but they also lost their possessions.
Possession 这个名词就是所有物啦。那通常呢是用复数，像是 personal possessions 就是个人的所有物。
Wow, so we've talked about so many things in that one sentence. You know what, Elsie? This is still a really hard situation, but what I do want to say is that not everybody was treated so badly. I have watched a lot of documentaries and movies about this. And, you know, some American people, they actually helped their Japanese American neighbors when they left, when they had to leave their homes. And they kept, some of them, they kept their businesses open. They kept their farms running so that when their neighbors returned, they were able to keep on going. And that didn't happen to everybody, but it just shows that, you know, there are some kind people out there who really do care, you know?
Yes. So this is like a little part of the story,
right,
about World War II.
Exactly. So, you know, So much devastation, so much tragedy came out of World War II, but it's nice to end on a nice story where you hear about some human kindness out
there. Yes, there was still kindness.
Right. All right. Well, we are all finished with today's article. Today, we are going to finish off with our For You Chat.
For You Chat.
All right, so today's For You Chat question is, if you had to rebuild your life, how would you start and why, Erin?
Interesting question. Okay, I guess I would. I'm a very organized person, and so I would start with all of the business stuff first. I would figure out how to rent a house. I would figure out how to get a license, get around. I would, you know, I would start looking for jobs straight away. So I would figure out how to get some money, how to find a shelter, and how to move around. So those are the three most important things, I guess.
So you are a very realistic person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
good for
in
you.
A situation like this, emotions are very important, but for me personally, my happy emotions come after I know everything business-like is kind of sorted out. So,
I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
For me, the first thing I thought is I would try to move to another city or a country to get away from my past.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in that way, maybe my emotion would be more stable.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't get upset when I think of those, you know, set past things.
Right. Okay, so you would sort of just, I mean, if you had to
move away from everything.
If you had to move to a new country, say if you moved to Canada, what would you do first?
I'll call Erin.
Okay. I might still be in Taiwan, but
Erin, would you please help me?
I'll help you, yeah.
Oh, you're still in Taiwan. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll try to give you people to meet.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, this is an interesting question. There are lots of reasons you might have to rebuild your life. There are also lots of things that you have to do to rebuild your life. And there are lots of ways you can feel about having to do this. So lots of things to talk about here. Go and talk to your friends, your classmates, even your teacher. I bet they would like to hear what you think. But we have to say goodbye. So for English for You, I'm Erin.
I'm Elsie. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Paper Wishes. Manami's story and Paper Wishes shows how an extreme policy put in place after the Pearl Harbor attack affected thousands of families. Shortly after the bombing, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an order that forced Japanese Americans to leave their homes. About 122,000 of them were moved to large prison-like camps for the purpose of protecting the U.S. The majority of these people were U.S. citizens. Most of the others had lived in the U.S. for decades. In spite of the racially influenced suspicions, none of these individuals were ever found guilty of espionage. There were 10 camps in total, located in several U.S. states, including California and Arizona. Each camp was its own community. Its citizens worked jobs in food service, agriculture, medical clinics, and more. Still, with tall wire fences and guards, these communities were a far cry from ideal environments. The camps were finally closed in 1946. But even after the innocent prisoners were released, they faced a new challenge. With their homes, life savings, businesses, and possessions gone, they had to begin the process of rebuilding their lives.
Vocabulary Review.
Majority. The majority of the students in the class voted to go to Hualien on their field trip. Racially. This school isn't very racially mixed. 98% of the students here are Asians. Suspicion. Connor can't prove that his neighbor is a thief, but he has strong suspicions that she is. Agriculture. Agriculture plays an important role in this region, where more than 75% of people work on farms. Ideal. Writing for that magazine would be my ideal job. I hope I get hired. Savings. Wendy doesn't have a lot of savings, so she won't be able to afford that expensive house.